The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Hello and welcome to the Radiate Wellness Podcast with your host, metaphysician, Reiki master, and hypnotherapist, Christy Clemens Hoffman. Each week, we will discover teachings, tips, and tools to radiate your best life ever with practitioners, authors, and luminaries to help you on your path. Wellness, joy, peace, abundance. What do you want to radiate?
Hello, and welcome back to the Radiate Wellness Podcast, where today we radiate eroticism with Ian Ferguson, who is a master trainer of the Erotic Blueprint methodology and co-founder of Jaya Inc., a company dedicated to radically transforming how society discusses and experiences sex. He is also an international speaker who has appeared on top podcasts for Tony Robbins and media such as Good Morning America, VH1, Anderson Live, and has been profiled in Details magazine. His mission, along with over 300 certified erotic blueprint coaches, is to release shame around sex, helping people empower themselves to reclaim the pleasure and true erotic expression that is their birthright. Thank you, Ian, for joining me today.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you so much for having us on and having this conversation.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, let's dive into it. You know, we were talking before how I had heard Jaya on the Heal podcast with Kellyanne Noonan. I was very impressed and thought that this message of an erotic blueprint would be beneficial for the audience of this podcast, namely me and people like me. So let's start off with your backstory. How did you get involved with this concept of the erotic blueprint, which I do want to get to and we need to get to, but like, where did you start off with this?
Well, I wandered into this universe through love. Jaya, who is my partner, we've been together coming up on 17 years. I was not in this field at all. I was not connected to sexuality as a business. It was, you know, only for my personal benefit, and came in contact with Jaya and had our amazing, beautiful love affair that kicked off. And I was in a place of reinventing myself in terms of sexuality, how I brought myself to relationship. And because I had been married, I had gone through my 20s and most of my 30s. And I would say, honestly, that my sexuality was pretty immature in terms of my willingness to bring my presence into my love relationships. And really kind of like, I think like so many men or people, perhaps having the idea that sex is natural, it should come natural, you know, not having to learn too much about it. And my partners suffered. You know, some people have worked all right for it, but it was a hit or miss kind of game. And coming into relationship with Jaya, I had already made a big mental shift that changed how I approached relationship. And that definitely benefited me in terms of being able to meet Jaya in many ways, because she was already a accomplished author, international speaker. She hadn't developed the erotic blueprints yet. And during the course of our relationship, new love, amazing. You know, that new love period, the year, first 2 years of a relationship, we were definitely beneficiaries of that. Jaya got pregnant. We became pregnant with our son about 9 months into our relationship. And when our son was born, everything that we'd been able to sort of instinctively rely on flipped upside down. Our relationship tanked in many ways. Jaya went premenopausal. She had a major pelvic floor tear from the childbirth. My business at the time was in custom furniture and cabinet design, and it was around 2008 when the economy crashed. So it felt like the day my son was born, the economy flipped upside down. I went into high stress, new child, my hormones crashed. And those events in our life revealed the underbelly of what wasn't going to function long-term in our relationship. And Jaya hadn't developed the erotic blueprints yet, but over the course of the next 3 years, where we had really gotten almost to the point of we're going to end our relationship. We're not, you know, sexually compatible. This isn't going to work out. Passion was failing. Stress was through the roof. The blueprints started to come in focus in Jaya's practice. And when anything comes into Jaya's life, she brings it into her loverships. So our relationship, which was already a bit of a petri dish of exploration, the volume really got turned up on that. And the blueprints revealed a new way of communication where we could see, even though Jaya was already a sex expert and she could pull all the sex techniques and all those kinds of things, that unless we were speaking each other's erotic language, we were not going to be able to bridge that gap. So over the next 3 years, the erotic blueprints, along with a whole bunch of experimentation in our relationship, led me deeper and deeper into the power. For years, I had been looking for something for myself to be able to bring out in the world that wasn't a bunch of physical products, but was going to transform people's lives. And the blueprints, as they emerged, very much became that beautiful possibility. So that was like 2008, blueprint came into focus. And during the mid, you know, like 2012 to 2015, I was leading live events. I would support as a DJ. I would come in and people would always ask, like, she'd start telling a story and she'd call out to the back of the room and, like, you know, ask for my input. And it became very apparent that people were very hungry for the mutual story. So I just became more and more a part of the live presentations. And then Jaya was experimenting in the background with the blueprints with clients, with a little bit of research to kind of see, does this really hold water, right? Because it seemed like it did, but we didn't want to, like, go out in the world with something that was half-baked. And probably 4 or 5 years of experimentation before we came up with the blueprint quiz and release it in the world, that was around 2016. And that is when I made the full transition into the business and co-leading, co-teaching, co-creating with Jaya, the coursework, our community. And shortly after that, we started the coach certification training in 2017. So Jaya didn't have to be the only one sort of leading the cause.
So let's dig into who Jaya really is and this erotic blueprint work. So for those who have not listened to the episode of Heal that I did, can you tell us a bit about Jaya?
Well, boy, you'll get me crying on this one. Jaya is my lifetime lover. She's a genius on so many levels. And she's a trailblazer. You know, the work around sexuality, a lot of the work that has preceded, it's a very edgy field to step into. You have Masters and Johnson. You have few people who have really started the ball rolling throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But there's a lot of, obviously, suppression, repression around this topic. And somatic sexuality, which is what Jaya's expertise in, is, you know, of the body, soma. And a lot of the research had come from very heady places and sort of clinical analysis and that sort of thing. And the somatic sexuality, somatic body work, along with 10 years of mastering Tantra, and then Jaya's deeply analytical mind and going into research and study and reading reports and going deep into all of this, kind of built this map of eroticism, which is very 360 degree, fully comprehensive, has to do with your overall sexual health, the erotic blueprint types, which is the personality typing system. And then just the science of arousal and attraction, biochemistry, the hormonal things that are at play, as well as ancient sex techniques and secrets that come from Taoist practices and tantric practices. All of this is embodied by Jaya and the work that she's done for close to 30 years now. And then all just grounded in practical application. Like, here we are with this individual standing in front of me. And what is their eroticism? What's their story? What is the body revealing about their erotic truth? And, you know, that's at least one aspect of a very rich human that is named Jaya.
Right. The erotic blueprints. How long have those been out?
We first released the quiz in 2016, and that was sort of like the first public debut. Jaya had spoken at a conference about 6 months before that quiz came out about the blueprints for the first time, and it just electrified the room. People were just like, what is this? And who am I? And what's my erotic type? So it was very galvanizing from the moment that Jaya started to speak publicly about it. And then, as I was telling in that preamble story, they started to come into focus around probably 2011, 2012. So didn't really put them out in the world for years. It was just working with our clients and client base to see what worked and see if they really held water.
Right. So when we talk about the erotic blueprint, this is like an archetype, like a personality type in a way.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, I love a good personality quiz. I really do.
Of course.
We all like to have self-discovery and self-knowledge and learning. And there are 5 erotic blueprints. Is that correct?
5 erotic blueprint types. Yep. And we talk about people having a primary blueprint, and that's where you're going to be most resourced. That's going to be perhaps where you're most skilled as a lover, because it's your natural erotic language. It is going to be the thing that turns you on, the thing that you most likely desire most from a lover. But it is, of course, we are a makeup of all of them, right? So you have your primary, secondary, tertiary, and actually in the erotic blueprint assessment, if you do the paid version, you get a pleasure profile, which shows you the percentage of each blueprint type that you are.
So let's break down these 5 types, because I think they are really eye-opening.
I don't want to take too much of your time, but I would like to ask you a few simple favors. First of all, please rate, review, and share this podcast wherever you're listening. You know, it sounds like a simple little thing, and it is, but it has a huge impact for us because it helps other people find us in the podcasting algorithms. I don't know how it works, but I do know that it helps a lot. Next, if you would subscribe or follow wherever you're listening, whether that's YouTube or Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, Spotify, wherever you're listening, just hit subscribe or follow, and that helps you and it helps us. It helps you because then you receive notifications when we have a new episode that's out. It helps us because, again, algorithm magic, I don't know what happens, but it helps. And then finally, you can support our podcast in a tangible way by going to radiatewellnesscommunity.com/podcast and then click on support the show. Now, we have a new feature too. We are now on Patreon. You can find us on Patreon. You can also find the link to Patreon when you go to radiatewellnesscommunity.com/podcast. So on Patreon, for $3 a month or $5 a month, you can support your metaphysical and spiritual growth. You can learn about upcoming guests, and you can get early and ad-free versions of the shows. So please support us. This podcast is free for you to listen, but we have costs, and quite frankly, they come out of my pocket. So if you like this content, if you get a lot out of it, please see what you can do to give back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. So they each have their superpowers and their shadows. So superpowers, great resource. And then the shadow side is the part that may be putting the brakes on your pleasure. And you can be a primary blueprint and accessed in one, and then have a very strong shadow in another. So sort of like your primary shadow blueprint. So there's a little bit of detective work in starting to figure out, like, there's a accelerator brakes model of human sexuality, which is that the brakes are the thing you actually are going to benefit by working most on first. Those are the inhibitors, the things that keep your sexuality repressed. So someone might hear in these descriptions the superpower, be like, yeah, I'm turned on by that, but I've got all these things standing in my way. And it is very likely aspects of the shadow aspects that may not be associated to your primary blueprint that may be the thing putting the brakes on your pleasure. So just a way to kind of conceive of, when I talk about superpowers and shadows and lay out what the blueprints are, to be listening for a few intricacies in here. We often talk about the energetic as sort of like the lead in. The energetic blueprint type is turned on by anticipation. They're turned on by space. They're turned on by tease. They have a superpower of incredible sensitivity. They feel their lover's emotions. They feel the energy in a room. They can be affected by electromagnetics in the room. So, and that kind of starts to tap into the shadow aspect of the energetic blueprint. But staying with the turn-ons, often like an energetic is going to be more turned on by the period leading up to the kiss than the actual kiss. So that hovering of the lips or the hovering of the hand above the skin. And sometimes when that space gets collapsed, the turn-on collapses with it, because they live in the like desire and the anticipation. They have a superpower of being able to have orgasms without even being touched. They can feel the erotic energy from 10, 15, 20 feet across the room. Sometimes they can do really, really well with long distance relationships and sort of like Zoom call eroticism, because it keeps that distance. And then the shadow for the energetic is often either that collapse of that space or that hypersensitivity, which is such a superpower in their turn on, cause rapid shutdown. Your lover collapses the space too quick, too fast, then your body can't assimilate that and it shuts it down. Sometimes, not a blanket statement, sometimes there can be evidence of a lot of boundary crossing that has happened for an energetic in their past. It could be a traumatic situation or could just be a series of not speaking up for their needs, because we don't have examples of energetic sexuality and eroticism in our society. So energetics will often feel weird, broken. The thing that can often happen for energetics is something called the kriya or kriatic response, which can be twitching. And so sometimes that'll make them feel odd or weird, like, why am I twitching? Or their lover doesn't understand, why is my lover shaking or twitching in the erotic experience or the aftermath of the erotic experience? And I can kind of like go through all of these, or you can pop in if you got questions on something or something you want to.
Yeah. When I listened to this before, I thought maybe I was an energetic, but I don't know, that there's a lot more to it than just this simple plan, right? We're talking about a comprehensive,
yeah,
including the shadows and what happens in the lead up, what happens in the aftercare, all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but because the actual blueprint types are so electrifying, it often people think that that's all that the erotic blueprint methodology is about, but it has what I would say is three core pillars. You've got your erotic blueprint type. You have the five states and stages of your sexuality. Briefly mentioned, they are the healing, resting, curious, adventurous, and transformational. And then the additional piece of the detective work is the third pillar, which we talk about as the four obstacles or pathways to sexual health and pleasure. And they can be obstacles or they can be pathways. And those have to do with your emotional health, your actual physical, physiological health, your hormonal or biohormonal health, and then your bioenergetic, because we're energetic before we're anything else. Our cells are all made up of energy. They're responsive to actual energetic stimuli in the environment, like electromagnetics and the water you're drinking and all of the things in your environment. So when you are diving into this sort of delicious detective work, any number of these things can either be a benefit and a support, or they could be the thing that's standing in your way to having kind of sex life and eroticism and connection to your pleasure that you crave. So back to the blueprints, the sensual blueprint. Sensuals bring the beauty, the artistry to sexuality. They love to have all of their senses ignited, the sounds, the tastes, the music just right, the lighting just right. And they can have full-bodied orgasms through different kinds of touch. They tend to like contouring close touch. So very different than the energetic, who's going to want that space and anticipation and distance. The sensual thrives by collapsing that touch and really getting close and the snuggles. And sometimes the physiological snuggling, massaging, candles and kissing is enough for a sensual. Like, I'm full. I'm totally, my cup is full, because it doesn't have to go to intercourse. The flip side for the sensual has to do with often getting caught in their head because they are so aware of the environment, because the thing they can be like, oh, the light's too bright. Oh, that next track that's coming up on the mix list is totally going to blow the mood. Do I smell down there? We're taking too long. The head just starts going and going, and the monkey mind can completely disconnect them from the erotic experience. So I know from speaking to thousands and thousands of people that there's a lot of people out there nodding their head at this moment. Like, yes, I can't stay connected to my pleasure. And yes, I get distracted by the socks on the floor, the call I didn't return. And like a quick tip for sensuals is sensuals need to relax. I have very high sensual in my chart. So they need to be able to relax their nervous system to be able to open to eroticism. And one thing you can play with is really consciously creating what we call toggles. So we've got tension in our life. We've got stress. We're in our day. We're in our work day. And the toggle is the transition between all your life stuff and being able to relax into connection and eroticism. So an example would be one, you know, very pedestrian. If your lover is a sensual, maybe you go around cleaning up the bedroom. So it's awesome. Like, the candles are right. There's no laundry. It's all like, it just looks amazing. So they can walk in and their nervous system can relax. Another toggle for sensual would be some of the things we often think of as traditional romanticism, you know, the hot bath, the warm-up massage, those things that help to downregulate. Because if the nervous system of the sensual is heightened, they're not going to be open to that erotic connection in their body.
Yeah. You know, and that's just kind of common sense. I mean, who can find pleasure when they're tense, right? When they're stressed out?
Well, that would lead us to the sexual.
Okay.
So the sexual blueprint. So here's where the differentiation of how people relate to sex really plays a big role and where we miss each other in understanding, you know, like how people access their turn on. So the sensual needs to relax in order to have sex. The subconscious mind is constantly scanning the environment for safety, turn on. Do I want to have sex with that? Does that want to have sex with me? So these things are running subconsciously in the turn on or in the mind of humans. And one of the aspects of the breaks is a lot of people exist in this zone where we think, why am I not turned on in my day-to-day life? Or my partner's not turned on by me, or I'm not feeling turned on. Well, here's the truth. Only about 10% of people are walking around aroused and ready for sex. And this often points to a lot of things around your, like, are you dopamine, are you GABA in your neurotransmitters? So being able to understand how you operate also can be helpful. And a sexual is more likely to walk around in a state of arousal because most everything arouses them. They're like, oh, they don't feel threat in the environment. Sex is easy. It's like, it's fun. They can go from 0 to 60 very quickly. There's not a lot of complication needed. It's just like, well, we should all be having sex and we should all be having orgasms. I don't understand all the lighting and the ropes and, you know, you have orgasms 20 feet away. And what is all that? Let's get to it. Let's get busy.
Yeah, I dated that guy. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Exactly. So it's a natural state. And often one of the shadow aspects for sexuals is not being seen in their sexuality, being shamed for it, especially folks with a vulva. If you are highly sexual and you've been walking around, I'm sure that you've experienced slut shaming or being told that, you know, good girls don't do that, or, you know, like put it back in the box. Right. But that excite model, where the sexual finds turn on easily and they walk around ready for sex. If they're not having that sex, it's like they're not getting the water and oxygen that they need. So it is the thing. Sex is the thing that has them feel seen, has them feel honored, and also relaxes their nervous system. So the sensual needs to relax first to have sex. The sexual needs to have sex in order to relax. So major difference with those two. Another shadow for the sexual would be they often miss the journey because they're so focused. They can be very outcome driven. We've got to get the orgasm and climax. That's the whole point. Their lovers can sometimes feel unseen or like they're a sack of meat only there for their lover's pleasure. And the sexual may have a blind spot because they are thinking, well, why is it so complicated? And if they sense the rejection, so Jaya has a very high sexual, and this was one of the disconnects in our relationship when things started to unravel. I was approaching her as a sensual. I would come to bed and I would cuddle, trying to downregulate from all the stress of the business upside down and my newborn son. And that would be my entrance to kind of discover, okay, well, where are we tonight? And how can we, and this will evolve and flower into making love. And Jaya's sexual needed the certainty. She's in high stress. She's in high anxiety. She wants to be seen as a sexual being. She wants to have the sex. She wants to have the orgasm. And those things were like two ships passing in the night. And she would feel rejected because I wasn't, you know, chop, chop, ready to go to have intercourse and get to the orgasm. So her mind, and this can happen for anybody, but the sexuals can feel rejected because they're not being met in their straightforward sexuality.
That makes sense. So I can see how this erotic blueprint would be very essential for communication as well. I mean, just not even in the bedroom, but just in general, I can see it applying to many things. Like, do you get excited about things? What do you not get excited about? Do you get excited about the same things that your partner gets excited about? Right?
Yeah, for sure. This starts to become a divining rod for people in all aspects of their life. Some examples. Some people have started to use the blueprints in who do sales to figure out how to relate to the person, their potential client.
Sure.
Again, is this somebody I can go fast and hard with? And or is this somebody who really needs the space and I need to relax and let them kind of come to me in the more energetic zone? And people, in a caveat this very strongly, I don't mean this in any way around sexuality. People have started to see these threads inside of their family dynamics. The example of this would be, we had a father who had two daughters, and he's a hugger, and he's probably like a sensual, and he's got sort of high sexual, and he's just like a go-getter human in the world. And he has two daughters, and his approach would be just to like give them bear hugs. And he noticed that one daughter was like all responsive and loved it. And then another daughter was progressively getting more sort of like distanced and like withheld. And when he learned about the blueprints, he was like, wait a second, maybe like, I think I'm crossing my daughter's boundaries. I think she's energetic and she needs me to approach and ask if she's open for a hug. And she needs that space. Whereas the other daughter's like ready for the big bear hug. And it completely changed their family dynamics because now he could see that his daughters were not the same. They had different approaches to how they could be loved. So yeah, it has, we have clients who have bought houses based on their blueprints. We have one client who's like, she's high energetic and her husband of 30 years is high sexual. And when they were buying a house, they were like, okay, we need to fit both of our blueprints in this house. And it helped them to see like, oh, we each need these different elements present in our environment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just as sex is only part of who we are, I mean, I can imagine these blueprints, I mean, we can use them in different parts of ourselves. I don't know. I'm failing with that analogy, but sex encompasses so many things. I can imagine our erotic blueprint is only part of that because it encompasses how we approach life, what we think about things, what we are interested in, what we're excited in, what helps us relax, what helps us regulate, all of that.
Yeah. And I'll add a layer in that a lot of people think of pleasure, or they've inherited a belief system that pleasure and sexuality is either secondary or they really shouldn't focus on it because it's selfish. And just to kind of unwind and put a different frame around that, our sexual health is the canary in the coal mine. Meaning like what's going on with your sexual health is your biohormonal health. And relates to your immune system. It relates to your ability to regulate and navigate, feel at home in your body. And when people are in pleasure, when people are living in pleasure, when people are connecting to pleasure, it is also giving signals to your body that we're procreation machines. And a lot of these hormones that are good for our health kick in when we are sexually active, because the body is saying, oh, we're still making babies. We're still out here doing things in the world. We're an active, alive human. So we're going to keep sending blood flow. We're going to keep creating the dopamine and the serotonin and all the feel-good hormones that create longevity and health. We have an equation that we think is pretty fun, which is if you have sex, this is not the equation yet. If you have sex, you know, about 3 times a week or more, the studies show that you can extend your life 3 to 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So the equation is have more sex so you can live longer so you can have more sex.
Yeah, that makes sense. We've covered 3 of the blueprints. I think there's 2 more.
There are. So the next one is kinky. And we have a slight twist on kinky, which is kinky means whatever is taboo for you. So the stereotype that a lot of people are aware of, and some people are quite frightened by or nervous about, is the stereotype of the whips and leather and chains and pain and, you know, extreme submission and dominance. And pop books and movies like the 50 Shades and some of those pieces have enhanced this idea and kind of shown some dynamics that are unhealthy dynamics around kinky sexuality. And the reason we take it back to whatever is taboo for you is because if we've had these examples, if you're a couple who's used to having sex in missionary position, that's the only way you've been doing it for 20, 25 years, and you introduce the concept of oral sex or doggy style or, you know, different positions or playing with toys, that can be an incredible taboo for religious beliefs, for any number of social patterns. Like, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way we're supposed to do it. And now you have this edge around something that for other people is very vanilla. Like, oh yeah, oral sex, whatever, we do that all the time. So whatever is taboo for you, whatever has that edge of naughtiness, provocative, like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this, can fit into the kinky category. And I would also assert that kinky dynamics of dominance and submission, control and surrender are what make even normal intercourse or outer course have that polarity of attraction and desire, because we're always switching who's in control, who's surrendering. And so it's a dance, and that control surrender with the kinky lifestyle or understanding kink dynamics, it's delicious because it's making something that's implicit explicit, and it's bringing consciousness to, oh, I actually like being in the dominant position. And the lover says, well, I really want to surrender and I want you to hold that space and I want to be ravished and I want to be taken. So it allows, again, like you're talking about, that ability to communicate about things which feel often very edgy, taboo, shameful, and it allows people to communicate overtly about it. And kinky kind of breaks down into two categories, which would be the sensation-based or the physiological. And that's where you see the bondage and the spanking and the scratching and some of the more intense physiological play. And then the psychological. And the psychological really thrive on the power dynamics and the power games, dominance and submission, role play, some of the more psychological aspects of kinky turn-on. And you can be both. You know, I have high kink in my profile, and I'm definitely a switch of being able to play with psychological and physiological at the same time. And then the biggest shadow aspect typically for kinky folks is shame. Why do I like this? Something's wrong with me. I can't share this with my lover. I'm going to lose their love because I'm going to get judged for this, you know, weird thing that I'm into. So kinkies can sometimes hide out. And then in that, the kinky types can sometimes find a very distinct fetish or a thing that does turn them on. And then they can kind of turn that into a rut, which then becomes a ditch, which becomes a grave, because it becomes the only way that they can access their pleasure. So
yeah. Yeah. That is unfortunate. And there's one more erotic blueprint.
There is the shapeshifter.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the shapeshifter loves it all, wants it all. They're turned on by, they've got the energetic, sensual, kinky, sexual all within their scope of desire and turn on. They are sort of like the high-end sports car of eroticism. They often make excellent lovers because they are turned on by anything and everything so that they can meet their lover's needs. They've already explored it. They've checked out kink, or they've understood energetic, and they have the facility and the organic turn on. They're not putting it on for their lover. So they're great lovers, and they have the potential benefit of having all the superpowers of all the blueprint types. So those, you know, superpowers abound there. They can be very creative. Like, the kinkies can be extremely creative in their sexuality. Shapeshifters have the kinky plus everything else. So they can bring the whole smorgasbord of erotic delights to lovemaking. The shadow aspect of the shapeshifter, one aspect that's a shadow is they often are starving in their sexuality because they're told, you're too much, you're too big, you know, you want too much. And they can have lovemaking sessions that extend hours and hours, and their partner's about to die of exhaustion and give up, you know, tap out, I'm done. And they're just like, what are you talking about? We're just getting started. So they've often been shut down for their sexuality. They can be starving because their lover only wants one type of sexuality. So, you know, let's say their lover's energetic. Well, the shapeshifter can meet them beautifully in that space, but the shapeshifter has the sensual, sexual, and kinky that are left unfed. And that bigness can be overwhelming for their lover. So it can sometimes be very hard for the lover of a shapeshifter to even conceive of how they're going to meet their lover's needs. And then we have sort of a sixth blueprint that we don't really, you know, officially go into, but we call it the shadow shapeshifter. And that is a person who has the shadow aspects of every single blueprint type and none of the superpowers. And that's a very, very difficult place to be, because you've got nothing but breaks, nothing but things diminishing your ability to connect to pleasure. And the unwinding of all of those shadow aspects can be quite a journey.
Oh, I can imagine. Can you give me an example of how that archetype would work?
Sure. I mean, and it kind of like goes back into just illuminating the shadow aspects of each of the blueprint types. So in energetic, perhaps they're overwhelmed. They feel like they're being accosted anytime that somebody's coming onto them or wanting to have sex with them. So it feels like too much. They're getting stuck in their head because the environment is the slightest thing can take them out. You know, the change in the volume of music or the lighting, the laundry not being done. Their sexual is feeling unfed, or because of all of these breaks and because of the disconnection with themselves and their lovers, their sexual goes unfed. They're kinky. They're feeling deep shame about the things that they want to try and experiment with that might actually break them out of some of the things that are holding them back, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't know how to explore it, and they're suffering from deep shame. So it's this stacking all of the things that are putting the brakes on their pleasure.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be a very difficult place to be. Now, everybody has an erotic blueprint, right? Is there anybody who doesn't?
So there are some folks who are asexual, and we honor that this is a legitimate zone that some people find themselves in, that they consider themselves asexual. They just don't find any turn on. I think many asexuals often just simply have not been met in their style of eroticism. And an asexual, yeah, so the energetic often will find people are energetic and they just have never been met there. They've never even realized this is a normal form of turn on and eroticism. So sometimes that can open up for an asexual to like, oh no, I actually do have turn on. But like I said, not diminishing the truth for folks that asexual is a legitimate, like, yes. It just isn't there for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But we all have these blueprints, and then it sounds like we have them in varying degrees as well.
Yeah. So one of the traps of any blueprint, any typing system is like, oh, I'm a D on the disc profile, or I'm 7 on the Enneagram, you know, or I'm a Aries, or I'm a Gemini. And then we get stuck in an identity. This is who I am. This is the way that I operate in the world. On a certain level, that's very beneficial. Like now I can navigate the world. Now some things make more sense because I understand an aspect of my personality that feels true. But one of the traps of any of the personality typings, and the blueprint system is no different, is getting stuck in that identity. So while I'm a sexual and my partner's an energetic and we're just a total mismatch and we don't meet up. But what is true, and this again, like when you take that quiz and you get the full 28-page report and the pleasure profile and all the things that come with it, it breaks it down into percentages. So it might be like 47% energetic, and then you're 23% sensual and 17% kinky. And you go down that list and maybe you have one that's 0 or showing up as 0, but you have this ability to see, like, one, it's great for couples to have those side-by-side comparisons because I might be super high in kink. My lover might be super high in energetic. But as we go down that chart, we see, oh, secondary and tertiary, like I'm secondary sensual and she's tertiary sensual. Then we can start to find this Venn diagram. Like, oh, well, we both have some access in the sensual. It might not be our primary, but at least that's a place where we can meet up and start to find a place to play. And the blueprint is also not a fixed, as far as like your, a different blueprint might show up with a different lover. A different blueprint might show up in a different time of life. You've had a divorce, and now you played a certain role in that relationship. And now you're discovering your own eroticism. Your sexuality is in a different place because you're older. You have a different viewpoint on life. Your biohormones, hormonal makeup has shifted. So maybe you were high sexual in your 20s and now you're moving into a more sensual or more energetic. Or maybe you're getting into the exploration of kink and like, oh, what's it like to have edge? Because I had to repress all these, you know, things in my previous relationship, because I wasn't really seen or wasn't willing to let myself be seen. So they can change, they can shift based lover life circumstances. So it's a delicious moving map that is more of an opportunity. We often say when you know your primary blueprint, it shows you more where you're limited than where you're resourced, right?
Right.
Because here I am, I'm an energetic, and this is how I relate to the world. And there's all of these other areas that I don't have access to. And my lover very likely has an opposing blueprint or a different primary. And if I'm unable to expand into those other areas of turn on, then how am I going to be able to meet my lover authentically without doing performative sex? So it can show you the possibilities, like how much of the smorgasbord are you not partaking of? Are you coming in and, you know, eating the pate and the crackers, but you're leaving the steak and the creme brulee and the, you know, the red wine and the chocolates off of your menu simply because you have a predisposition. You don't know what they taste like. You taste them when you were a kid and you don't like them, but you're just going off of a limited concept of what's possible.
Wow. Right. And then I'm sure our moods fluctuating every day. And like you said, the biorhythms, the biochemical, you know, even the time of day, I would imagine would create energetics for us to shift between these blueprints. You know, as somebody with a moon in Gemini, I have many facets, many moods and many things. I can see that people who do have complex lives, complex emotional landscapes, that just knowing the nuances of where we are at any given time can be very, very helpful.
Sure. I mean, like bringing back that thing that I touched on briefly with the five states and stages of sexuality. So resting, healing, curious, adventurous, transformational, those are states that can become stages. And what I mean by that is like we flow through them. If it's a state, you're kind of passing through. If it becomes a stage, then sometimes it becomes more fixed. Like an example would be somebody who's had a trauma or a travesty in their life. They go into healing. They've got to heal, but then they can get stuck in the healing and it can become a stage. And maybe they want to get out, or maybe it becomes a defense mechanism to keep themselves protected from ever feeling those things ever again. So that awareness of like, oh, I'm in this state of healing versus a stage of healing allows one to start to process and look at things and like, okay, well, what am I not looking at? What do I need to do to actually heal? Because I want to move into resting instead of healing, or I want to move into curious where I can start to learn a little bit more about eroticism and come out of my shell. And those states and stages, they can last days, weeks, months, years, or you can move through them in the course of a day or a lovemaking session, right? So we're like in curious, I'm playing with you and I'm excited. And now we move to adventurous and we're playing with some new thing that we learned about, erotic blueprint course or on a kinky from a kinky instructor. And now we're in the adventurous and we're actually putting it to the test. And woof, we had this big climactic experience. Now we're in resting. And wait, something came up for me and I feel like we crossed a boundary and I'm not feeling very safe right now. So now you have to move into healing. Or perhaps during the climactic experience, you move into transformational, and the transformational is the what's more to sex, like sex and spirituality. How does this connect me to my soul and who I am and a higher sense of consciousness and connection in the world? So you can literally move through the states and stages in a lovemaking session or throughout days, weeks, months, years, depending on how your system and your energetic system and all that sort of thing is relating to the world.
All right. And what needs are being met at any given time. Now,
yeah,
you kind of came back to all these different states and stages. I think you said there were five.
Yes.
Just so we can consolidate. Can you go through what those are?
Sure. So you've got the healing, which is exactly what it sounds like. Something has happened in your life. It could be a physical event, emotional event, biochemical kind of change, environmental circumstances have changed to affect you in a negative way. So you literally have healing to do. Resting might be, well, I've been expressing myself sexually and I really want to move into a period of celibacy to just go deeper into contemplation, right? So resting is often a conscious choice to step back from active eroticism and to just let your body rest. The curious is that space where maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, wow, I never thought about kinky in that way. And maybe I'm curious about it. And you go into the process of learning. Well, I want to find out what dominance and submission means. And what does it mean to bring polarity and power dynamics and in consciously and consensually into my relationship and my eroticism? So you start doing some reading, you take a course, you get a coach, a mentor, and you get curious. So you get really informed about something. And then that can often move into adventurous, which is like, oh, wow, I learned about all this rope tie stuff. And I learned about these things and I've learned how to do them safely. I've learned how to do them consensually and create boundaries with my lover. And now we're going to actually adventure and we're going to play and we're going to put our education to the test and start to activate it in our life. So that's the adventurous stage. And then transformational, it's the what's more to sex. So is sexuality a gateway to enlightenment, to transformation, to spiritual connection? And often people who are in the transformational will be moving into explorations around Taoist sexuality or tantric sex, because you're bringing in cosmic union, you're bringing in spirituality, you're bringing in soul connection to your sexuality. And for us, sexuality is creative life force. I mean, we are all here through sex. There are some folks who are here through artificial insemination. At some point, we may get genetic, you know, we may be born in a petri dish. We don't know. But for the most part, a majority of us have come into existence by the act of two people coming together for sex. And wouldn't it be amazing if every creation act was born of love, trust, health, healing, safety, connection, so that every creation of a human was born from that energetic. And I think that that is sort of the ultimate dream and mission, which you pointed out in the intro, of how do we create that safety? How do we end sexual shame? How do we end rape and all of the things that come out sideways around our eroticism? And one of the first steps that I see as fundamental is to be able to have conversations like this, to be able to bring something that has been so buried and shamed and maligned and judged, which is part of who we are, bring it out consciously into the conversation so that we can be informed, so that we can actually own and have autonomy around our bodies and what we desire, what we want, and do it consciously with consent, creating boundaries that are healthy for all of us, and create that sort of unity consciousness in action that gets expressed through eroticism.
I love that. Now, I do want to talk about the book that you and Jaya have out.
Yes.
Called Your Blueprint for Pleasure, Discover the Five Erotic Types to Awaken and Fulfill Your Desires. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, it is a deep, deep dive into, and it touches on all of the elements that we've talked about here today and goes into depth with client stories and Jaya and my stories and some of our other lover stories in terms of opening up all of those three pillars, from the five blueprint types to the states and stages of sexuality to the four obstacles and pathways, and brings us to, like, this podcast has been a kind of an arc that follows similarly to the book, but the book obviously goes into deeper detail.
Yeah.
So it's a great primer on starting to bring the deeper elements of the blueprints and the core erotic blueprints into one's understanding and one's life. And just a sort of additional note, I talked about at the beginning of this that the blueprints are born of somatic sexuality, of embodied sexuality, and the curious stage and the educational stage of reading about it is a great entry point. And I just encourage people to take the next step and bring it into third dimensional reality of their body and activate what you learn. Because learning it in the book, learning it, you know, from an intellectual exercise is very different than bringing these practices into activation in one's life.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Employing these things and putting them in our bodies.
Yeah. Yep. And in our relationship and with your own self-pleasure, which is a highly unexplored territory for a lot of people, right? And with your loverships. So how are you activating? How are you willing to have these conversations? And this is another area where people end up in isolation because it is such a buried, hidden, shamed aspect of who we are in modern culture. And being able to activate that inside of community, and the caveat here, I don't mean like a sex party. I mean, a community, it could be, but just a community where people are having authentic, real, open conversations. They're getting support from educated experts who have been there before you. They've gone deeper into the explorations. And there are several communities around that you can dive into. And there's, of course, our Erotic Freedom Club, where that is on offer. And that is a place where People can get ongoing coaching as premium members with our expert coaches or lead trainers. We mentioned that we trained over 300 coaches. We have several of them in there supporting people in this process. And it's really easy to get stuck. It's really easy to repeat the same loops in behaviors and communication practices, or just unconscious communication approaches that keep us stuck in conflict and dissatisfaction, frustration with our loverships, because we're batting up against that we're sexually incompatible. They don't meet me. They can't meet me. They don't understand me. And we just end up in this seeing our partner or lover as the problem, as opposed to being able to unwind all of that and see, wait, we have a mutual goal here, which is love, connection, passion, keeping this alive and burning bright for the rest of our lives. And sometimes you need help. Like, I'll ask this question often speaking to groups. How many of you have spent 1,000 hours on a hobby or improving your business skills or doing some athletic practice where you're increasing your skills? You get coaching, you read the books, you go and you get the help that you need with eroticism. And then, you know, a lot of people, almost everybody, if I'm limiting it to 1,000 hours, is like, hell yeah, of course I've done that. I went to college, or, you know, I specialized in something, or I was on athletic teams my entire life, or I play golf and I do all the things to figure out how to have a better golf game. And then I asked the question, how many of you spent 1,000 hours learning about sexuality and eroticism and getting coaching and education? And a group of 1,000 people, 2 or 3 people raised their hand. So we have this dissociation in our culture between, you know, this idea that sex is natural. Yes, it is. If you want to be having sex like a bunny or a chimp, it's all there biologically. You're going to naturally figure it out. That doesn't mean it's pleasure filled. So sex is natural, but making love is an art. So how do you learn the artistry of becoming a masterful lover? Well, that takes some practice. And what better homework to have than to practice pleasure and deeper connection and more fulfilling turn-on techniques than dropping into eroticism and bringing that generative energy, that reinvention into your relationship to keep it hot, to keep the attraction alive, and to enhance the longevity and pleasure that you're experiencing with a lover.
Well, I love that. And you coach people through this,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So like the blueprint book kind of guide, like I said, it guides you through. You're going to get a great primer, deep information, practices in the book. So for the self-starter, you know, the person who's really all about it, the book can take you there. But we have like the Erotic Blueprint Breakthrough Program, which is 8-module, 70-video training that Jaya and I put together. And then if you're inside of our Erotic Freedom Club and you're doing that course and you're a premium member, you have the ability to get coaching every month with these group coaching calls. We have 4 of them every month led by our lead coaches and trainers. And we focus 2 of them on what we call pleasure mastery, where we go into the shadow work, like what's standing in your way, how do we break through the blocks? And then we have 2 of them, which are sort of the lighter fare, which we call our sex tips, tools, and tricks calls. And that's techniques and games and brainstorming of how do you bring in the fun and the pleasure and all the things that you don't know that you don't know about turn on and arousal. So the course takes you step by step with practices, exercises, visual learning, because we have videos in there that are fully clothed, but super hot, that guide people, show them expressions of all 5 blueprint types for both solo pleasure. Like, what might this look like if you wanted a solo practice that has energetic, and for partnered play? So how do you bring energetic into your partnered play? To be able to see it, as opposed to, again, just be thinking like, oh, well, I think I know what this looks like. Well, what does it look like to see people who are primarily a sensual type indulging in sensual pleasures? What does energetic sex look like? How does it happen? And a lot of people, of course, are visual learners. They're going to pick it up. They're going to have this transmission by watching videos. So the Erotic Blueprint Breakthrough Program, the course, the community, all of it is designed to give people that comprehensive support. And thanks for letting me talk about this. The premium membership also is like a lifetime membership. So you get those access to the coaching calls this month or 9 months or 12 months. And it's a journey, right? You're going to find yourself like fully in it and great and doing amazing and nothing but celebrations and wins. And then you're going to hit a roadblock where something comes up in your relationship and like, where do I turn for coaching? So that lifetime membership allows people to get the support that they need when they need it, as opposed to like, I got to learn all this right now. And when I'm out of the course, then I'm either going to forget about it, or what am I going to do when I do run into that problem? Or I'm in that new relationship and I'm dating and I can't bridge the gap with my lover and I need new communication skills. So we really designed things to be much more than like an online course, but a really supportive community.
Oh, absolutely. And how can we access that? Where did we find that?
So you can go to jaya.love or jayalove.com. And that is our main website. You'll see the quiz on there. You will see the top tab. It says courses. You go to the Erotic Blueprint Breakthrough Program. That takes you to a page that tells you all about the Erotic Blueprint Breakthrough Program, the support that's offered there. And we do offer different levels of membership. So you can do a classic membership that doesn't get you all that coaching. And then you can do a premium membership, which gets you access to all of the monthly coaching calls. So different levels for people who have either different desires to go in at a certain level, or they just want to check it out before making a commitment. And then you always have the opportunity to upgrade.
Yeah, yeah. And then the book, where can we get the book?
That's wherever books are sold.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's currently, you know, definitely on Amazon. It's probably in some of your local bookstores. It's available. This copy, I don't have our UK, Australia copy yet. This one, if people are watching, I'm holding it up. It's a maroon cover. That's available in the US, Canada, a couple of other tangential US territories covered by Amazon and whatnot. And in the beginning of February, the UK, Australia, New Zealand version came out with a very different cover.
I think that's the one I was looking at.
It's got a flower. Yeah. So that's in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and some other territories. So that is now available. It's also available in Audible. Jaya read the book herself. So she loved reading the book and she's got a fantastic voice, do say so myself. So the Audible version is available as well.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, you're also involved in Sex, Love, and Goop on Netflix.
We are. So that's a great way. So it's beautifully done. We're so happy how that show came out. It's a 6-episode series. The blueprints are heavily featured in Jaya. I'm in episode 2 with Jaya, but Jaya is heavily featured in 5 of the 6 episodes. And you follow the arc of a couple going through the entire process of discovering blueprints, bridging the gap because they felt very disconnected sexually. There's some really beautiful surprises in terms of their own discovery of who they are as erotic beings. And it's a powerful way to kind of see just how potent the Erotic Blueprint methodology is. And TV is fascinating because you get this truncated, edited version of something that was, of course, a much longer, more involved process. It's cumulatively, if you were to watch just the blueprint segments, because they throw in other narratives with some other methodologies throughout the story. But if you took just the Erotic Blueprint segments, you'd probably have a 60-minute episode that, you know, just ran through. And Jaya spent multiple sessions with them in preparation for the show on Zoom calls, getting ready. We spent 3 full days shooting what you see in the episodes. So there's all sorts of things, of course, that were part of that process that are not on camera. And so I guess this is just a sort of the way of kind of saying that you see this arc that happens really quickly for this couple and for people to understand that they went through so much that you don't see to have those awakenings and evolutions. And it was all juicy and it was really powerful. So when somebody's going into their own erotic exploration, just give yourself compassion, give yourself grace. Know that your journey might zigzag a bit in terms of having breakthroughs and breakdowns and whatnot.
But very important for self-discovery and connection with a partner, which connection cannot be overrated, I think. It's what makes us human.
Yeah.
It makes us who we are. On top of that, thank you so much for joining me today. Is there anything we've left out? Anything we haven't talked about that you think is important?
I'm just grateful that we really did cover a lot of territory. Definitely tip of the iceberg in terms of, you know, this is just sort of glancing across over sort of like the surface of what's available to explore. But I do think we sort of like gave people all sorts of lead-ins here. And there is the quiz. I mentioned it a few times. That's also a very fun quick fix of like, oh, I want to discover my type. And that's at theblueprintbreakthrough.com. I could probably put a link in the show notes, but they can also find it at thejayalove.com or jaya.love to check that out. I guess one other aspect, which is just a favor, anybody listening, is there is truly a massive amount of censorship that goes on for the work that we're doing. And if you get on the email list, we really do our best. You know, we send out one email. We do send out some offer emails and whatnot, of course, for courses and when we're doing things. But when you're on the list and you stay on the list, we're not blasting your email inbox, but it's really helpful if you're on that list to just click on links that show up in your inbox. We've had some really, really challenging problems with the business because we get lumped in with porn and things that are not where we're at, but censorship getting shut down, our emails getting thrown into the spam box. So it's just really helpful for people to pay attention to that and help us kind of break through by liking, favoriting, putting the email that gets thrown in spam into your primary inbox so that we can stay in communication with people who are interested in this material.
No, that's a really good point. You know, we think we've come so far since the 60s, but we're still in many ways repressed as a society from the sex.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you and Jai are out there talking about this and doing what you're doing and normalizing the pleasure aspect of it, normalizing how this is who we are. It's part of our landscape, each and every one of us. And so I appreciate everything that you guys are doing to help each individual just normalize their eroticism.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for making some space with all of your lovely listeners to have the conversation. So grateful.
Absolutely.
Radiate Wellness is an international community of holistic and alternative healers dedicated to helping you create spiritual, energetic, and physical well-being. To learn more about our practitioners, services, classes, and events, or to schedule an appointment, visit us at radiatewellnesscommunity.com.